us all. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Exhort you this evening in the Word, and turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, which says here, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And I'm calling this teaching simply this evening, doing good, doing good. In fact, we really do need to read a few verses before actually getting into verse 10, because here is where the apostle is encouraging the saints to share their burdens, to have this fellowship, and we'll take it up from verse 6, which he says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." And it's very good to often lead into a verse, if you're using a verse to teach from, because it gives us an idea of where the apostle is coming from. And in this chapter, it's all about helping, encouraging. If there are any saints who are going through trial or temptations or weakness, to be there to help, support, to pray, to encourage, which is absolutely vital for the right environment of God's house, because God's house is love. And we have been challenged much on this over the years, and I think we will continue to be so. And he says, especially those who are taught in the Word, who are having the meat of the Word, where God is expecting much from us, and he is certainly expecting much with regard to seeking those opportunities to do good. Because he says, if we're only just hearers of the Word, we like just to study and lock ourselves away at home, then he says you can start to deceive yourselves. And he says that whatever you sow, you shall reap. And if you sow these things selfishly to the flesh, then you will reap its corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, and to walk in the Spirit, to sow to the Spirit, it very often just requires obedience. He says you will get your rewards. But it's also a great help and encouragement to the body of Christ. And that is why we're calling this teaching tonight, Doing Good. So as we've read in verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, and especially those in the house of God. The Christian life is about doing good. It's not about what Christ would do or is doing through us. It's about doing good. And in fact, if we are yielded to the Lord, then the Spirit of God is going to move us in such a way. He's going to encourage us. He's going to move through us. We're going to see just how practical he is, how he is so often in the everyday menial things that we face and do, how he is there. So God is very, very practical. But we have a word here, and it says, therefore, as we have opportunity. So what does this word opportunity mean? What is the idea of this? Well, it can mean a measure of time. If you are walking with God, walking in the Spirit, then God is going to give you whatever time you need for whatever situation you meet that is in the will of God and for his glory. And he's going to give you that measure of time or that opportunity of doing good. Or it can also mean a right time. So this doing good can be in that right time and that right season. We know Ecclesiastes tells us that there is a season for all things. So in that opportunity, if we are led by the Spirit, there are going to be those opportunities of doing good. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hands to do so. And we probably find that God gives us the power in our hands to do this far more than we realize. But of course, so often it depends how we feel, what mood we're in, what sort of day or week we're having, and so on. But God gives us the power, the opportunity to do good. So we're to do good to whoever, to our neighbour, yes, even our enemy, but especially to those in the body of Christ, to the assembly that God has placed you in. Now, the word good here means to be useful. Not only does it mean to be useful, but you're someone who is upright. You're honourable. You're reliable. You do good. And not only do you do good, but you get on and do it. And you don't make a fuss. Or you don't try and let people know what you're doing. You just get on and do it. This is what God is looking for, especially for those opportunities in the house of God. Well, let's look at some scriptures in this. For example, in Matthew chapter 5 verse 45, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So there is the goodness of God. God is always doing good. God was good over your life and my life. And he even does good over the unjust, the wicked, the evil, that we would probably ourselves would think twice about doing good. So he is our role model with regard to this. And the reason that I'm emphasizing all of this is because this is what helps with the true unity and oneness of the body, which is absolutely essential. We need that environment in which to flourish, to grow, to mature, to be balanced Christians. Sadly, there's so much imbalance at times in the house of God. But when you have a church that is doing good, who looks after one another, prays one for another, you will find that that is a very healthy spiritual environment. There's nothing cultish about that. Let's turn also to Matthew 7 and verse 17. Matthew 7 and verse 17. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And so it is good at times to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, Lord, what fruit am I producing? How does the world see? Because Jesus clearly reveals that you will know what sort of tree it is, whether it is bad fruit or good fruit. And Jesus said if it continues bearing that bad fruit, it's cut down because it's of no use. So here, this is emphasized to the household of God. Let's also look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers, foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, and having been built up upon the apostle and prophet and so forth. So there's our gathering unto him. We are fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God. to offer up spiritual sacrifice, to do good, to be active, to be open, to be ready to be used where whatever you can do to fill up in the body of Christ. So many still in the body of Christ want to be ministered to. They want to be entertained. And bodies don't grow up fully when it's like that. This is why we have taught over the years that the body of Christ ministers, everybody ministers, everybody has ministry. And if you haven't, then you need to ask God why. What is happening? Because we should be doing good. Let's also look to Titus. Now, I know in Titus that it primarily speaks of the ministries, the fivefold ministry, but we can still glean from this as to how we're to live and conduct ourselves. For example, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 8, here it says, "But hospitality," or use hospitality, "a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled." So there we are. We can glean from that. It's not just the ministry that should be like that. We all potentially should be like that. Given to hospitality. To love what is good. Meaning doing good. Being sober-minded about it. Just, holy, and self-controlled, and so on. Also in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, chapter 3 and verse 8, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men, to all." So here we are again. Here is a principle to maintain, to be careful, in other words, vigilant with regard to good works. In other words, examining yourself, being honest with yourself, asking yourself, do I let my brother, my sister do all the work and I just sit back and glean all the cream from the top of the milk? We have to ask ourselves these questions because we're talking about this evening doing good. We're talking about a healthy assembly, a loving assembly, an assembly where saints are growing, maturing, loving one another, caring for one another. Also, out in the world as well. None of us can excuse ourselves in any of this. And of course, God uses us in the most diverse ways. As we make ourselves available, as we desire this, so God will move us into these opportunities of being able to do good, to be practical. And what can come from that? Well, we don't know how God uses all of this. We may see saints coming into the kingdom of God because you're doing good. They've seen practical things coming from you that influences them and speaks to them. But if you're self-centered and consumed with self, you're not of much use. And that is why God presents the cross to us, that death to the self-life, so that In that death experience, the life of Christ can manifest his life in and through you. And I can assure you, the life of Christ that lives in you loves doing good works. He loves doing good. He loves to feed the people. He loves to bless them, to heal them, deliver them, speak peace, kind words over them. That is the Holy Spirit. And we can so grieve the Spirit of God within us by holding back from these practical things. So this word good here, it means to be useful, to be upright. It means to be honourable. So the emphasis is we have opportunity. We have an opportunity while it lasts, because it won't always last. That is what it means. So if the opportunity arises, then take it. Because it's acceptable to God. Now, we're not talking about atoning for our sins with regard to works, doing good, because that's what the Roman Catholics hold to. We're talking about true believers who are born again, whose sin is dealt with. We're talking about believers who are filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit, who are doing good by faith. They're not doing good so that they can please God and they can get into the kingdom of God. That is bondage. So that isn't what we are talking about here. But we're talking about using this opportunity. Why it arises. It might not arise again, or that opportunity for that certain situation may not come round again. How many times have we missed out something, or we've lost that opportunity, and somehow we think, oh, well, it'll come back, God will give me another chance, or whatever. Well, he might not. That is the whole point, brothers and sisters. You see, we should avoid this idea that I've done good, so I've done my bit for my brother or sister, so I don't have to do anything anymore. I think I've done my fair share. I've done my fair share in the body of Christ. I seem to do everything, and nobody else does anything. Well, you've missed it if that's your attitude. And yet we can so easily fester that, take that on board. You see, doing good is doing it unto the Lord Jesus and him first. And everything else will stem from that. That's the blessing of it. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Romans. Right, Romans 12. Verses 12 to 16. Romans 12, verses 12 to 16. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. My goodness me, what a lot there is there. How the body of Christ has need of learning just what those few verses are saying here. He's saying be patient, whether it's in tribulation, Be steadfast in prayer. Sometimes we have to pray for a long time for one another or a brother or sister. But remaining with it, steadfast, until your brother, your sister is through or delivered or healed. We're not always faithful in that, are we? Distributing to the needs of the saints, where we see there are needs or financial needs to help out, to be open, given to hospitality. In other words, sharing, opening your home. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. In other words, don't react. Whatever is being said, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. In other words, you're one with them. You're going through it with them. If they're going through trial or grieving or rejoicing, if they are blessed or God has blessed them, you're really, really blessed as well. I don't always see that, brothers and sisters, in the body of Christ. Be of the same mind toward one another. That's how we grow. That is how we're going to see the greater works in these last days, these major breakthroughs, when we are of the same mind. Do not set your mind on high things. Don't think yourself too spiritual. And that goes on sometimes in the house of God. Don't set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. If you're getting a bit proud or arrogant, the best way to get delivered, go with the humble. Do good. It brings you down a peg or two. It makes you realize, there go I by the grace of God. We can be so spoilt at times. We expect the very best. And if we don't get the very best, we make it known. It's wrong, brothers and sisters. Whatever is put in front of us, whatever we receive, or whatever gift is given to us, be grateful, be thankful. We know that we're coming up with Christmas, and we know that a lot of people won't be satisfied with their presents, because when they open them, they won't be good enough, or it's not got a designer label, or it wasn't bought from the right shop, or it wasn't what I want. That's epidemic nowadays in Christmas. That's why so many people get in debt, because they're trying to buy these most expensive presents, because they don't want them otherwise. Give yourself a merry, merry Christmas. What bondage. No. We're completely opposite to that. That is why we don't take on that spirit of Christmas or paganness. God is not in it. Never has been, never will be. If he were, then the world would not celebrate it. I can tell you that now. But we're talking about doing good, walking as believers humbly, not thinking ourselves above anyone else. Do not be wise in your own opinions. Oh, wow. And we can be very opinionated, can't we? And we think we're very wise in what we say. We need to be very, very careful with all of that, because you can crush people. It is a form of control. And it is not doing good. And that's what we're called to do, is to do good, to be a blessing, to show that fruit. You see, if we ignore all of this, this practical side of our walk, you know what starts to happen? You start to become an oddity. And you start to shut yourselves away. And you often just use the idea to excuse yourselves. Well, they don't really believe. They don't act like I do. They don't think like I do. They don't know the word of God like I do. They don't pray like I do. And so you become cloistered. You start locking yourself away, but you become very odd, peculiar, and really of no use. That's not what we're called to be, brothers and sisters. We need to be very careful that we don't judge those who are not in faith like I am. If you are in faith, or if you have faith for your healing or faith for your finances, well, give God all the glory, because that's what God has worked in and through you. You see, some can still be religious in just doing good. But as we've said all along, that it comes out of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you love him, then that love is going to reach out in that practical way. And it just happens. It isn't something that you have to strive at in doing good. I believe God presents the opportunities, which we've already read. That is part of walking in the Spirit. And so those opportunities manifest, but we always have a free will, a choice. God never forces us, but he wants us to make that right choice. You know, we have to be very careful, don't we? If we avoid these things and we start to become these religious oddities, one of the things that we need to be careful is that we hold back and see if someone else will do it first. And that's gone on in FGA. Well, I'll hold back, I'll see first, I'll do it, but I'll find out if somebody else will do it first. No. We don't do that. If the opportunity is there, here am I, use me, Lord. And in actual fact, if the opportunity is presented to you, then you are the right one. And anybody else isn't. That's not going to give God the glory. God wants to glorify his name through you, not through somebody else. And this is how a body starts to become active, balanced, loving. And so that when people come in, strangers come in, or those that don't know Christ, they will see a loving environment, a family who love one another, who get on with one another. No cliques. You know, sometimes we can adopt that attitude, well, why me? It always falls on me. We all have to be careful of that. I certainly have had to really watch that one and been tested many times over the years. And it's easy to walk away. But you have to establish who you do it unto. And when that is firmly fixed in your heart, then you know you're doing it unto the Lord. And it will bear fruit. and that fruit will be seen in its time and its way. The Bible tells us, doesn't it, that love covers a multitude of sins. And sadly, at times we fall very short. So the question that we've been looking at this evening is doing good. Doing good. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Our Father is a very practical Father. And I've often found, as I bring this to a close, that if we are faithful in the small things, the practical things, we find that we progress, we grow, we mature into greater things, where we can be of use, where He can use us. I believe doing good is very instrumental to evangelism, to those being added to the body of Christ. Sadly, so much of Christendom wants to just be entertained. They want somebody else to do it. And God isn't going to have this with the overcomers. Not with what we have been taught, and certainly in FGA. We, all of us, have ministry. And it is up to us to seek God for those ministries. And some of you may say, well, I've been seeking God. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what my gifts are, whatever it is. Well, start with doing good, because it may come from that. Great things can develop from just a small seed that is sown, that will grow and grow. Because I believe it is so important, as I close with this now, that the body of Christ, Christ's body, is very balanced, has a loving, warm atmosphere, welcoming atmosphere. That when and if we find those that come in, they will see Jesus. There's no place in the house of God where you can hide yourself or excuse yourself, because otherwise we become strange, odd. And that is no witness. It's no witness to our neighbour, our family, our husband or wife or whatever it would be. You see, that's what the enemy tries to do. That's where he's trying to hold you and oppress you. But if you know the truth, then the truth sets you free. And a lot of our freedom that we have, that we have in Christ, is that we're doing good. We are practical. We are reaching out. Here am I, use me. Because we have been shown, haven't we, over the years, that we're like those wells of living water. The more water you hand out, the more is to be found in that well, because it never runs dry. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening. We all need sound advice, and we all need to hear our Heavenly Father speak to us and to show us how to live and walk the Christian life. And we have heard some very practical things tonight. And Father, I pray that none of us would ignore this or put this to one side, but that we seek you so that you can present those opportunities to us, and they are certainly there, where we can be used in that practical way to minister the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, not to look away from this or to expect somebody else to do it. Father, deliver us from this idea of being entertained, that we can present ourselves. So often, Lord, we're looking for change, we're looking for breakthroughs, and yet we may be the person in which that can happen by presenting ourselves, being willing to be used. Father, I pray that we would glorify you in this, what we have heard this evening, that we would continue to enter into this, and that whoever comes into the body, whoever we are led to, whether it be in the world or what is going on in the body of Christ, that we may be that good tree bearing good fruit, because that is how we are known. That is how we're seen. By the fruit they shall be known. And so, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for our meeting tonight. I thank you for my brothers and sisters who have come into the room. Lord, be with them. Bless, preserve, and always keep them. Father, may they walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Keep them from the evil one, from the subtlety of the enemy. Ever keep their eyes and hearts solely fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and upon your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, He is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Oh, nor the moon by
forever, I will love.